So this call is all about time blocking, and specifically we're going to focus on working from home on this call, but I do want to say this. It doesn't matter if you're working from home. It doesn't matter if you're working at work. I want all of you to think about this for a second. Whatever issues you're
having right now are probably the same issues you were having before. They are just very magnified right now. So here's what I mean by that. I want you to put in the circumstance line. Now, if you are a newbie, this makes zero sense, and that's okay. I'm going to teach this in such a way that even newbies will be able to understand. This is called our model. We use it to outline how we think, how we feel, and how we act in the world so that we can see what's actually going on. Like, what is the cause of my weight gain? What is the cause of the things, like the results I'm getting in my life? It's always going to come back to our thinking. And so you will learn all of that in phase two of No BS. But if you're not there, which no newbie probably is, it's fine. You don't even need to understand this part to get the overall messaging. And then also this call is going to be me teaching, answering questions. So if you guys end up with a question, you can put it over in the Q&A. And then if we have time, you can raise your hand and I may get to some coaching also. So we'll see what all we can get done in here. All right. And this class in particular is to go with our Mastering Time course. So we have a bonus course that you can take at any time. You do not need to take it right now. You can focus on No BS. But that course is for people who struggle with managing their time, who feel like they're always busy, who feel like they run out of time. So I want all of you to think about this, whether we're talking about before or after the coronavirus, we all had thoughts about time. I would like us all to get into our time capsule for a moment. And let's just go back a month ago. Were we sitting around going, oh my gosh, I love time. Like, I have so much of it. I am the master at organizing. Like, nothing gets in my way. Like, it's just so perfect. No. We had bullshit thoughts like, I don't have enough time. There's too much to do. People keep bothering me. If these things would happen, it would be so much better. Everything that we're thinking right now, I guarantee you, was the same exact thoughts you had about time before. It's the only difference is now is that you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling stressed out and stuff, and you don't think it's because of how you're thinking about time. You think, oh, it's the coronavirus. No, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because my kids are at home. Like, before the kids were at home, I was just sitting around all day long getting shit done all the time thinking, I'm a badass baller when it comes to managing my calendar. Nothing gets in my way. I never overeat because I'm overwhelmed. I never do any of that stuff. This is why it's really important to understand that a lot of you are going to sit around right now and make the mistake of thinking, I had enough time until the coronavirus. Or you're going to have another pivotal thought that's going to suck rocks. Once all this is over, I'll have plenty of time to do things. If you didn't think you had plenty of time before this, you're not going to magically think that when all this is over either. Your brain is in a habit of looking for excuses as to why it's too hard for you. That's what we have to break. Those are the things that we have to unwind. We have to literally have a relationship with time. Okay, so somebody said, can my circumstance be wasting time? You can, like, so this is like the circumstance of wasting. This is a good question before we get too into things. This is a good question. Wasting time. If you put it up here, then what you're doing is you're going to figure out what your thoughts are about wasting time. Like, it's not a big deal, or, oh my God, I never can get my shit together. Like, when we put this up here, anything that's in the circumstance line is always saying, what is my opinion about it? That's what the thought line is for. So we have a circumstance. Circumstance is something we would all agree on. Now, technically, would we all be able to come to an agreement on whether or not Robin is wasting time? No. But sometimes it's useful for, like, if you have an action, like an overeat or something along those lines, sometimes it's useful to put it in the circumstance line to make sure that you're not judging yourself for it. Because if you're judging yourself for it, you'll never solve for wasting time. Judgment slows you down. So like if wasting time, overeating is up here, then we want to know, like, what do you think about yourself in regards to when you're wasting your time? What do you think about yourself in regards to when you are overeating? If it is, I'm a fuck up, then I feel defeated. And if I feel defeated about being a fuck up, then I start, like, I don't bother calendaring. I don't bother, you know, planning my food. I stop using my planners, things like that. And the result is I fuck up the future time or I fuck up my future weight because I'm judging myself for how I'm showing up. Versus if you have wasting time or you have something like overeating and your thought is, I can figure this out. This is a behavior I want to change for my future self. The feeling is like aware. The feeling is calm. The feeling is willing, which is very different. When you're calm and when you're willing and those kinds of things, your actions become, look at, you know, where I'm wasting time and how I could use it better. Make plans. Analyze my food logs. What am I planning that I like and what am I planning that I don't? You'll notice your action line is full of solutions. It's full of you trying to figure out the problem rather than running away from the problem. And then when you do that, the result becomes, I figure out solutions. I try all kinds of new things that get me closer to my goal. That's what we want to do. Now, what I would have most of you do, though, is do this. Wasting time is an action. I would put it down here in the action line. And I would write out all the ways that you're wasting time so that you have a really good, clear picture of what does wasting time look like so that you know exactly what those things are. And then, what was I thinking to get here? So up here would probably be either my plan or no plan. And what were your thoughts about your plan? So like if we had a plan and we're wasting time, like what are your thoughts about it? For a lot of you right now, is if you're making a plan, it's this is too hard to do right now. The coronavirus has got me jacked up. Having my kids at home makes it impossible. Those are thoughts that are going to make you feel overwhelmed, confused, or defeated. And then you have to start questioning them. Like, is it impossible to get things done with your kids at home? Or is it during this time, I have to figure out a new normal? That's a very different mind. It's the exact same thing. Very different mindset. Okay, let's do this. One of the things, here's an exercise that I want all of us to do. So now that what you have in your mastering time is you have got the original lesson on the concept of time. So in that lesson, the very first one is going to talk to you about how we have a relationship with time, which is time is in the C line and what are our thoughts about time? Like some of our thoughts are going to be, I suck at planning. I don't manage my time well. There's not enough of it. Those are all thoughts that are going to either help you manage time wisely or it's going to like hose you on managing your time. And then as you go through the program, you have my video on time blocking. Before you can use time blocking, because I want you guys all to know this, time blocking is way down here in the model. If you time block from a thought of, I don't have enough time, or you time block from a thought of, it's going to be really hard to get it all done, I promise you, your time blocking will look like ass. You will be trying to cram way too much into it. You will be very unrealistic about it. That's why it's so important for you to think about time like I can figure out how to get this done, how to get things done and feel good about it. I'm learning how to manage my time better versus I suck at time management. Like, it's really important for you to understand how you're thinking first, because if you don't come into time blocking feeling like it's doable or easy, or for some of you, like it might even be like you just need to feel like determined with it, willing. A lot of you don't plan at all, and you're finding like, you know, now's probably the time that I learn how to do this. But if you're coming in from it from being scared of it or whatever, it's going to be a lot harder. So we want to clean up our thoughts around it first. So there's the time blocking, and then there's my business planner that is also in there. So I highly recommend everybody do that course if you're really interested in the time blocking. Now, what I want all of us to do, this exercise is not in there. It's going to be in this video, is I want you to think about yourself in like 30 days. You can do 60 days if you want. You can do 6 weeks if you want. You get to like think about your future self a little bit further out in advance. But what I would like to do is I want you to think about at least 30 days. And this is not like I'm setting goals. This is more about accessing who you want to be in 30 days, not about what you will have accomplished in 30 days. So there's always goal setting, which is a part of the time class, but there's this one other piece that I think that we don't cover near enough, and that is, who do we actually want to be at the end of the next 30 days? And I think right now it's a pivotal time in just history where we're all kind of in a space that we need to think about that. And so for all of you, I want you to think about, who do I want to be at the end of 30 days, like with food? Do I want to be someone that's eating their face off, or over the next 30 days, do I want to finally be the person who learns how to start using the four basics on a consistent manner? Do I want to develop a better relationship with myself? Like at the end of the next 30 days, do I want to be someone who is eating and drinking because she has so many thoughts about herself when she's alone that it's horrible? Or I want to use this time to figure out how to fall in love with myself. At the end of 30 days, for some of you, you're with your kids. Do you want to spend the next 30 days just trying to get through each day? Or do you want to, at the end of the 30 days, be like, I would love that if at the end of the 30 days, I got to know my kids on a whole new level than I ever thought possible. I'm actually going to be able to spend more time with them. And if I cleaned up my thinking around this being so burdensome, what would I be thinking about my kids? What would I be noticing? So I want you all to like kind of just go through your life. There's like several big areas for me. I'm doing this work this evening on myself. I want to create like basically like, this is how Corinne's going to eat the next 30 days. Like, I've really noticed that I need to step up and make a harder effort at my damn vegetables. I'm not like eating chips and shit, but I am basically eating meat and cheese and nuts on repeat, eggs, bacon. Like I keep looking at myself going, it would not hurt for you to get in some vegetables with these meals. And so like, that's one of the things is like, okay, I'm starting to feel like I've had more gas. I have had more just stomach bloating. And I know it's because I use the excuse of, well, we're all quarantined. It's so hard to get stuff at the store. And I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just like, make lists. And if you have to cook some, if you have to do whatever, this is what we're doing. And I may also have to not get the vegetables that I want and just eat vegetables that I'm not used to and that I might not have picked first, but I'm okay with that. If the end result at the end of the 30 days is to feel like a healthier version of myself, that does not mean that I loved every bite that went in my mouth. It meant that sometimes I'm willing to sacrifice in like having exactly what I want in that moment to feel like at the end of 30 days, like I grew as a vegetable eater. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's like sometimes we have to get that focused on stuff. And so I want you to be thinking about, all right, the next 30 days, how do I want to show up for myself with my food? How am I going to make this easier on myself? What are the things that it's fine to eat? And what are the things that's like, you know what? I would do better just like not even thinking that this is like on the plan for the next 30 days. I think all of us have a few things that we could just be like, I could probably do without it. I've let it back in. Like for some reason before the coronavirus, it was like, I just didn't eat those things because they don't make me feel good and they don't work for me and everything. And guess what? All of a sudden we're eating comfort foods again. We have to decide which ones are we going to put in. It's going to be the same thing with your bedtime. It's going to be like over the next 30 days, I want you to decide and have a meeting with yourself. And this is the way that I want you guys to be thinking about it with time. I want you to have a board meeting with yourself. You and your future self in 30 days are the members of the board. And right now you need to make a list of all the things that you want to propose to your future self that you want to do and keep doing. And your future self needs to approve it. You both have to be okay with the plan. This will make you stronger and better at the end of 30 days. It will give you a clear vision of who you want to be. It will give you a clear idea of how to plan each day. It will also make it really painfully noticeable when you're out of integrity with who you truly want to be in 30 days. I also want, like, you need to come up with, here's my movement. Here's the way I'm going to be eating. Here's the way that I'm going to be managing my time. You know, for some of you, you're going to have to do like me. I got my kid at home until the end of April now. Logan loves talking to his mama. Loves it. I've always been someone who gets up early, but you know what I do when I first get up? I journal, I write, I do me time. Then he goes to school, and then I get to work all day. Guess what I'm doing now? The first 2 hours of my day, when I get up before anybody else rolls out of the bed, I'm working on work because that's the 2 hours that, guess what? I won't be bothered. And then if he's in online school, and once he started, guess what? I use those hours to do my work. Like, am I getting to plan my days the way I want to? The answer is actually yes. You know why? Because I want to get it done. Is it the way that I would plan it if I was just planning it from, this is the way that Corinne would do it on an ideal day? No. But this is what I want to do because what I ultimately want is to show up. And sometimes we're going to have to like look at our schedules and stop thinking about, well, this is how I used to do it. And before all this and blah, blah, blah. That's what we call thoughts that cause you pain. How you used to do it doesn't matter right now. How it's going to be in 30 days doesn't matter right now. You know, the only thing that matters right now, what thought am I having about today's work that leads me to feel determined so that I can get shit done? Thinking about how it was, thinking about who shouldn't be here, thinking about how hard it is, thinking about how annoyed you are, all that stuff, I'll let you keep it, but it's just going to slow you down. You have to decide, which thoughts am I having right now that are causing me to not be productive? What thoughts am I going to need to adopt to allow me to be productive? Because being productive is going to happen way down here. In order to get the things done in those time blocks, you got to feel good about it. You got to feel willing. You got to feel energetic about it. And before you get into tips, tricks, and hacks for like how to best manage time, guess what? Your brain has to be open up to the idea that those will work. Not, this all sucks. Somebody tell me what to do and I'll try it. Because if your mind is set that it's too hard and it's unfair, then you'll get started. It won't go perfect and you'll quit on tips, tricks, and hacks. Okay. Be productive is the result or the action? It just depends. If your thought is I like to have a feeling of determination each day, right? A question that I ask myself every day is, how do I want to feel about my work today? Determined. How am I going to feel determined? Usually my thought is something like, I can get things done like a boss. I know that's a strength of mine. You know why? I have spent years and years and years of not allowing my own excuses. I have gotten it, like, y'all just think I get a lot done? No. You know what I did? I spent years and years and years having excuses, wanting to do other things and stuff, and overriding my bullshit. To the point now, I override my bullshit automatically. It's like bullshit enters, like, oh, we're too tired today. Or, oh, we have too much to do today. And I just tell myself, no, you don't have too much to do. You know what you have to do today? The things on your calendar. You have a calendar that's telling you exactly what to do today. And I switch my thought to follow the calendar. That's a lot easier than sitting around dreading your work. Like, I have conversations like with that with myself all the time that keeps me feeling determined. And when I feel determined, I follow my time block. I dismiss urges to, like, fiddle fart. And then the result is, like, I get things done. That would be the same thing as I stay productive. And I would say in mind and, like I will call it physically, but basically, like, getting the things done. Most of being productive, like, is all about your mindset around it. Somebody said fiddle fart. Yeah, I've been saying fiddle fart forever. But that's what we want to do. Okay, let's see. Let's go to some questions, and then we will coach a little bit. Can you please talk about what online schedule you use? You used to use Trello. We actually don't use Trello anymore because we have such a big team now. We have, I think there's 12 of us that are, like there's 12 of us on the team, and then there's 3 or 4 outside contractors that work with us. So we needed a more robust system, and we all use Asana. I would not recommend Asana to someone who is just needing to get their own shit done. Trello worked well for us for a long time. But I will tell you, the main thing that I use now is I do the system that I taught you guys in the time blocking. So here's how I get it done. I write down everything, and then I put it all on my calendar so that I see it. And then if it's a project that's going to need, like, extra time out, that's when I would put on Trello stuff. Like, I would have, like, the stuff that you need to do later. Like, if you just need a container where you can check things off so that you're not forgetting them. You can do all of it with paper, though. You literally can have, I have what's called a parking lot inside the planner. The parking lot is where I would throw stuff that's going to get done later. So if you want to do that, and you can also just, if you want to, you can just keep a blank piece of paper. So, like, here's the business planner, right? This is where I write all the things for each day in a time block and whatnot. If I have things that are going to be, like, further out in advance, you can just put all of it there. If it's just my personal stuff, it's just up to you. But Trello is fine. If you want to do it all on paper, you just plan your days. Like, I usually plan 7 days out on paper. So I just have 7 of these all the time, and I'm writing stuff. And then as I have things that I need to remember to plan in, like, 7 days later, then I put them on a sheet of paper. So it's like my running to-do list to plan for those things either next week or the week out. So that's kind of how I do it. But it just depends on what you guys want to do. Trello is fine. If you were going to do Trello, I would have a board. It would be called To Do, Doing, and Done. That was a system I used a long time ago. So you just basically have three columns. And then each, if you're in Trello, if you have a card, you would just have all your to-dos in the to-do side. And then when they need to get done. And I don't remember if Trello does this, but it kind of has like little checklists. So if you have like one thing and then it's got like maybe four little subtasks, you can put it on there. You'll have to check Trello. I'm not 100% sure. We haven't used it in forever. When you are actually doing it, you move it to the doing side. And then when you're done, you put it in the done column. And then once a week, you throw out your done column. You can put a check. Okay. Yeah. You can put a checklist in Trello. But that would be like a good starter version. But I think the easiest system is exactly what I taught you guys in my program. You make a list of everything you need to get done either today or this week. You calendar it, all of it. You find a spot on your calendar, because what that does is it forces you into, if you can't find a spot on your calendar, guess what? You have to start making decisions. You have to start deciding what gets done and what doesn't, who needs to be told no. Then you're just going to have to work on your emotional work around telling people no. And it triggers you to figure out why you said yes to begin with. You will learn so much about yourself by calendaring things. Most of you, what you'll do is you'll find you have more things to do than you have time for. Like some people, it'll be about 50-50. Some of you will be, I have more things to do than I actually have time for. And then you'll quit planning because you don't want to be forced to tell people no. Or you don't want to be forced to deciding what are my shoulds and what are my, I do actually need to do these things. So like yesterday we had somebody talking in the Facebook group about her, she was washing her daughter's panties because her daughter wanted to wear like dirty panties for days. And her mama finally got pissed enough to where she's like, I'm just going to wash the panties because I don't want her to blah, 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 blah. This is a kid from college. So everybody was going in there and talking about how like, oh, no, no, you don't need to wash the panties and blah, blah. And like, that's the wrong thing to coach her on. You know what we need to coach mama on? She needs to either be like, I will forever wash her panties, or I need to figure out, why is it hard for me to just let her figure things out on her own? What's going on with me? This is not about whether or not she should wear clean panties or not. This is more about why, like, when you notice yourself doing, like, having too much on your list, it is such a good opportunity for you to, like, start really up-leveling your skill of prioritizing, up-leveling your skill of focusing on the things that are most important, of figuring out who you say yes to when you really want to be saying no to, and getting over yourself in that moment and allowing people to sometimes be disappointed, or you watching them figure it out and you not figuring it out for them, even when you think you could do it better. Like, we get this opportunity to actually figure out so much about becoming a more elevated version of ourselves if we give ourselves the opportunity. Then there's the other half that will think that they have so much to do, and then they'll go to plan all of it, and they'll notice how much time they actually have. And the reason why they've been stretching shit out is because if you've got white space and all you've got's you, and you can't stand it, and you've spent your life trying to busy so you don't have to be with yourself, this becomes the opportunity for you to figure out how to start loving yourself, repairing the relationship with yourself, taking breaks without feeling guilty, like really learning how to like be with yourself on a higher level. That's what, like, when I say create a food plan, like when we're talking about your 24-hour plan, it is not necessarily so that you just lose weight. That's to me like a byproduct of it. What it really does is it spotlights all the things that you've always needed to work on. Because for all of my newbies, when you're not following your plan, whether it's your 24-hour plan for your time or your 24-hour plan for your food, The reasons behind why you're not following it tell us exactly what it is we need to go to work on in your emotional and mental department. You don't need more tricks. You don't need a new diet. You don't need more actions. We need to figure out what thoughts are slowing us down. And that's what plans do. When they're not followed, we learn so much about what's the next version of us going to be. Like, who do I need to, like, what are the things I need to start solving for myself? Like, for a lot of you right now, you got these college kids that come home and you've snapped right back into taking care of them mode. And you, if you don't want to be taking care of them, if you're noticing you're frustrated and angry, it's not because of what they're doing. It's because of your thoughts behind why you're doing it for them. That's what we have to go to work on. All right. I'm struggling as I've never had to work the hours I'm doing now. I'm trying to organize 40 people all at home while I'm at home. It's exhausting and I have done nothing else this past week. Let's just remember, if it's exhausting, it is a thought doing it. I've never had to work these types of hours. Now, this is where we have to decide. When you say I'm exhausted, what parts are physically exhausting? Like, I notice that I'm yawning a lot. I notice this. And what parts are emotionally exhausting? I would, if I was you, make a list of the emotional exhaustion. I keep thinking I've never had to do this. This is really difficult. This is so unfair. Like, figure out what that is, because if you're like, I will tell you, the last couple weeks, I have worked more hours than I probably have since I started this business. I mean, we were working up in this house. I mean, the other night, Chris was up at 1:30 working, like got up at 1:30, and I got up at 3:30. Physically, yes. I've never emotionally felt better. I am so like in my thoughts, thinking things like, this is going to really help people. We are going to figure this out. By the end of this, I know I am going to have helped so many people. Like, because my mindset is so drilled into the purpose behind all of it, I'm not thinking about how, like, I had a plan, it's now all blown up. This is so unfair to all my people. Like, I don't sit around thinking about that. If I sat around and thought about all of my clients that are suffering and how hard it is for me to help them, and you know, they're all going through such hard times. Can you even imagine? There's no way I would work efficiently. I would be doing myself a disservice. But when I stay really focused on, like, all right, yes, people are going through some like tough times right now, but I can help. I can figure this out. I start giving that equal airtime the other side. So I think it's really important for you to not confuse the part where it's like, physically it's exhausting because I'm only sleeping this many hours. Physically it's exhausting because I've skipped meals. Physically it's exhausting because my brain is working at a higher capacity than it's used to. I think those are really good thoughts to go with, because your feeling line switches from being tired to more like compassion. And it's telling the truth. Like, if you're working 80 hours a week right now and you're used to working 40, physically, my body's not used to it. Those are thoughts to switch over to. But if your thoughts are emotionally exhausting, where the feeling line is exhausted because your thoughts are, this sucks, this shouldn't have happened, this is too hard for me, this is so unfair, the whole world's suffering right now. Like, if that's where you're spending your mental energy, I just want you to think about my action line becomes spiraling, eating. There's all kinds of action lines that will happen. And then the result is I treat myself unfairly. Because I'm not giving myself an opportunity to think about good things that are happening for me. Like, if you're the kind of person who right now has decided, despite everything going on, I'm going to help people. Despite everything that's going on, like, I'll step in. I'll work extra. I'll do those things. You could be thinking, like, I'm such a badass. I'm pulling more hours than I'm even used to, and look at me. I'm such a badass. On the days when I wake up at 3:30 to work, I don't complain. I just do. Like, whatever it is, you have to give equal airtime to that part. Let's see. On Thursday, I decided to drink when I go back from lunch, working from home. I turned it into 7 by the end of the day. I can't believe I did this, and I was beating myself up the next morning. I want to work through my model. 7 drinks. I can't believe I drank this much. Feeling defeated. Don't do thought work around why I drank today. Weight gain. Yeah, when you don't do the thought work around you drink, the result is not weight gain there. Let me tell you, I mean, you're probably going to gain some weight if you're going to be drinking 7 drinks, but that's not really what the result is. The result is I have no believable thoughts about myself. That's what I want you to think about. Because if you did your thought work around it, you'd quit beating yourself up. And then you would have thoughts about your capacity to believe in you and figure out your solutions to your problems. So the intentional, 7 drinks. I'm willing to learn from this. The feeling aware. Complete a discovery worksheet. Learn, move on. The result is a clear mind. I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The question is, do you believe it? Is it going to be one that you're going to want to use? Here's a few thoughts that you could think about. I refuse to beat myself up over this. That's one. There's never a good excuse to think poorly of myself. I needed something in the moment, time to figure out what that was. This isn't the end of the world. This is the beginning of a solution for me. Like, there's all kinds of things that you can think about. The question that keeps running in my head, if I lose weight during the COVID virus, does that make me weaker so the virus can come in easier to me, or is it safer to stay? No, I don't think the COVID virus is like sitting around looking for people who are losing weight. Like, just think about what you're thinking. Like, I love to just question the ridiculousness of my brain. Oh my gosh. The coronavirus is looking for people who are trying to lose weight. My body's going to be weaker if I'm not overfeeding it. Like, this is one of the things we have to think about. It's like, tell me how, this is what I would say. Tell me how losing weight could be a way to increase your immunity. Put your brain to work on, your brain is just, I'm just going to tell you, it's just trying to be sneaky. Like, in our brains, we all think that when we lose weight, somehow we're we're going to have these drastic calorie deficits and all this other kind of stuff. It's like, what if only eating when I'm hungry and stopping when I'm satisfied is how my body was always intended to work? And if I'm treating my body like it was always intended to work, that might be a really good way to increase the chances of me not getting the coronavirus. Overeating and continuing to eat like I've been eating that gained weight, how could that actually make me more at risk for the COVID virus? Allow your brain to go there. That's a couple of things I would do. And I think that would help. All right, who has questions on the time blocking? Let's make sure these are time blocking questions, guys, because that's what this call is about. I just finished my first week of WFH. I don't even know what that is. I probably should know this. Started time blocking on Wednesday and it's going pretty well. I'm an executive assistant working from home. Okay. I was like, I don't know what the hell W, I kept thinking, what program do I have called WFH? So I just finished my first week of working from home, started time blocking on Wednesday and it's going well. I'm an executive assistant. So my job is essentially be on call for my boss. When I'm time blocking with specific tasks and projects, sometimes those things will get interrupted by requests from my boss that take priority. Should I make larger time blocks to account for those things that might come up or just move my scheduled tasks to another block? Yeah, so here's what I would do. I would schedule everything according to like how to get things done. And then when this is the way that that I do, like this is how my husband and I work together, because although my husband is not my virtual assistant, I set the priorities for this business. And very often the priorities change, especially right now. And I'm very comfortable as a change agent. So the way that we've worked it out, and this can totally, and I've had my assistants do this with me and stuff, is I like, and this is what I would do if I was you, Melissa. I would go to your boss and say, I'm doing this new thing where I'm time blocking so that I am working as efficiently as possible for you and I'm getting everything done. So I'm going to keep time blocking. And then when you tell me something that you want as a priority, if I have something else scheduled, is it okay if I tell you, this is what I was going to work on. Do you want this to take precedent or do you want me to finish that and then do this when, like it at another time? It allows them to like actually decide how they want you spending your time most valuably for them. So Chris does that very often. In fact, this morning I had a meeting with Sadie, who does all of our social, and she does our internal like posts and all that kind of stuff. And we had some stuff come up that we needed to get done today. And she said, well, here are the things that I'm working on today. And I said, okay, those are all really important. And I was like, but I know that you're not going to be able to get everything done. So I said, let's move these things off. And so that allowed me and her to collaborate on her time. So she did have to reorganize her time blocks, but she wasn't just trying to squeeze it in and doing all this other stuff. We just did a check on, is this the, like, where does this fall on that priority list? Now, if your boss like doesn't want to do all that and whatnot, then you just decide. The thing that I would love for you to just think about is, you know, it's just like when we change food on our food plan. Every now and then something comes up. Let's say I'm at home, the boys desperately want to go out to eat, and I had planned a salad to eat at home. And I really want to go out to eat with them. And I don't want to just sit there this time. Like, let's just say, like, I just don't want to sit there. I actually want to go out to eat. I could go out to eat and say, fuck, I never can lose weight because of the boys. And then you just end, and I'm like, but I'm going to have a good time. I deserve to have a good time because I never get to do these things. And we like, I could do all that drama and eat a burger. Or I could break my plan and eat a salad and like my reason. Or I could break my plan and eat a burger and not like my reason. I could follow my plan and not even like my reason. I could follow my plan and love my reason. It's all about the reason behind it. So one of the things that's beautiful about creating time plans, creating food plans, is that anytime there are changes, you don't know if it's useful or not until you question it. So that's why I was telling you guys, there's no room for judging, because you're not questioning when you're judging. When you're judging, you're stopping yourself from figuring it out. When you actually spend some time looking at it and like saying, what was my reason? If my reason for breaking my plan was I never get to do anything, I'm like, that's a terrible reason. That's whining. If my reasoning was I really want to eat with them and I'm willing to make this work, I like my reason. I'm going to get a ding in my, like, in like how I track myself and how I watch myself. I'm going to get a ding and I'm okay with that one. I don't have to judge myself. So that when I look back over the last month, how was I spending my time? How often did I stay on plan? And I dig into the numbers. I start saying, like, these are the thought patterns I want to repeat. These are the ones I don't. And these are the ones I'm going to work on. I got to this meeting late. What is the letter C? It's the circumstance line. That Shalene, when you take No BS phase two, this part will make more sense. But I'm teaching probably about 90% of the people on this call are not new. So I'm going to teach it like we all know it. And then for all of you who are brand new, just follow along. A lot of it will make sense. And whatever doesn't make sense, just know this. You'll be able to watch the recording in the future. And once you've gone through phase two, the little parts that don't make sense will make sense then. How do you time block large items that you don't know how long it will take to complete? I'm thinking time block the small steps. That's exactly what you do. So I don't ever have a large time block. Now, I might have 4 hours for recording, but within that, it will say like this video, like a good example is this afternoon. I am filming this afternoon. I have 5 different videos to make. Each one of them is in the 4-hour time block that I will do after this one. So that's a really good way that like how to do it. It's like, if you want to have a bigger time block, you have everything that you need to accomplish in that time block. And you make yourself get really focused to work on it. But I will tell most of you, when you first start time blocking, if you're not used to doing that, don't time block for more than an hour. Give yourself an hour to get things done and in smaller chunks. Get good at following things. Get good at showing up for it and understanding how long certain things take. So I have a lot of repetitive tasks. I know like when I write, when the podcast happens every, you know, we do a podcast for the public every week. I know about how long it takes me to write the email that goes out for it, the blog that goes out for it, the social copy that goes out for it, the description that actually goes to iTunes. Like I know like how long it's going to take me to either proofread, write, or edit and do like all the things for that. Only because I've been doing it for so long. At first, it took me a little longer, so I planned more time. And then I got faster and faster and started realizing I had more time left over, and then I started shrinking it. I think time blocking is just like when we do our food plan. In the beginning, when you first start making your food plans, you have to figure out like what's realistic and what's not realistic through trial and error. You have to figure out what you like and what you're willing to do now based on trial and error. And then as you go along, you get better and better at doing things. You actually can, you know, create smaller windows to get shit done. You can level up your food. As you get better and better and seeing more results, you start feeling more competent with your food. You start wanting to up-level your healthy foods. So it's all exactly the same. So I just think in the beginning, I would start with smaller time blocks. So like if it was me just beginning and I wasn't used to like filming for 4 straight hours, like me 2 years ago could not have filmed for 4 straight hours. It would wear me out. I would be so tired of just talking the whole time. So I would probably plan a whole day to film. And I'd have like, all right, video one, I'm giving myself 2 hours. That includes my setup, my lighting, like getting it done, messing up, all that kind of stuff. And then video two, and then video three, and video four. And I would be wore the fuck out by the end of the day. Now I'm so used to running my mouth all the time, and I know my systems and stuff. I can do 4 videos in the amount, like in 4 hours in the amount, or actually I have 5 today, but still I can do it in 4 hours in the amount of time. Like a year ago or 2 years ago, it would have took me all day to do. So as I've gotten better at it and more competent and learned what I can do and what I can't, I've learned how to adjust my time to it. So there's a lot of adjusting. I'd really like to plan my weekends and my free time. My boyfriend has chronic migraines and doesn't like to plan things because he never knows how he's going to feel. What do you think about contingent plans? For example, I'll plan my morning, then an afternoon at home, and an alternate afternoon doing something with him, then just follow whatever happens. I think that's fine. I like a good plan B for things like that. It's like putting some predictability in unpredictability. I miss the structure of the office. I can't seem to force myself to actually do my work from home because I goof off. I want to be more productive, and I certainly do not want to come across like I'm not pulling my weight. I live alone. I need to get my butt in gear. Okay, you can't force yourself into doing it. You're going to need to feel determined. And sitting around thinking the office provided you structure is not helping. There was being in the office and you probably had a thought. This wasn't structure. You need to figure out what your thought was to getting your work done. So getting work done was the action. And now what's driving not getting work done? We need to figure out that thought. I would almost bet you, like, you have this thought that there was structure at the office. Figure out what the structure was. How can I replicate that at home? What were the things that I thought about there? People are expecting me. Like, one of your thoughts that I would really watch out though for is, I think you might have had a thought of, I don't want to look bad in front of other people. And now that you're at home and other people can't see you, guess what happens? It's blown up in your face. This whole time you've been like, and this is, I don't know if this is for sure, but a lot of you do this. When you have been showing up because you don't want to look bad in front of people, this is exactly when we have a thought that's been driving, getting stuff done, go kablooey. That is the same reason why so many people binge eat alone. Like, they can go out to eat and eat on plan. They can eat healthy in front of everybody. But then the second that their partner goes out of town for a work trip, or they drop their kids off, or their friends leave, they're face down in the pantry. Because if you've structured your eating around not wanting to look bad in front of other people, you haven't figured out how to not look bad in front of yourself. This is where we have to decide, how do I want to show up for me? This isn't about other people. This is about how I want to show up for me. So how do you want to show up in your work life? Getting your butt in gear? That's a very self-loathing thought. That's no different than someone who's binging saying, I need to get my shit together. It's not a helpful thought. Why, like, everybody ask yourself, why do I want to be productive at home? If I was being productive at home and getting things done, I would feel what about myself? It's probably going to be pride, like something along those lines. That goes in the feeling line. Because you would be thinking what? I'm someone who shows up no matter what. Whatever that is, that's what you ultimately want. None of you just want to get your spit all over the place. None of you want to just get your tasks done. We all want to get things done because of the feeling that it will create for ourselves based upon how we'll be thinking about ourselves in that moment. It was just like the girl with the panties, the mama. She didn't wash the panties because she didn't want her daughter wearing dirty panties. She washed the panties because she wanted to feel less agitated. She wanted to feel like she had control. She was letting her mind run loose on, she should wear clean panties. She should be doing this. She's never going to learn how to whatever. And rather than just thinking, she'll figure this out, and then figuring out for herself, like, what's it going to be like to watch my daughter figure out how to be an adult? What is it going to be like for me to watch her solve her own, like, stuff? What's it going to be like for me to realize she doesn't care about this like I do? She decided what she'd rather feel in the moment is like she's right. So she washes them. So all of us, make sure that you think about, why do you want to, like, I want to be more productive. Why? Make a list of the reasons why you want to be more productive. You are going to have some things that you're going to think that aren't going to be helpful. Like, I don't want other people to think I'm goofing off. And those are the ones you need to be aware of, because they don't generate any production when you're alone. If you want to be more productive, you need to find the thoughts that are going to work for you. Like, I want to be the kind of person who gets shit done no matter what's going on in the world. Whatever it is. What would you say are the stages of managing our thoughts? What are the best ways to move ourselves through those stages? There's three big phases. Number one is awareness. The first thing we have to do is we have to become aware of our thoughts. So like when we're talking about time, before you can move, you can't do anything unless you know what you're thinking. That means you have to know the thoughts that are useful and the ones that are not useful. And y'all need to spend way more time getting aware of your thoughts. Stage two, we have this somewhere. I think it, like, for all of you who are really wanting to do thought work stuff, make sure that when you're finished with phase one, that you do phase two of No BS, and you're going to need to listen to it a couple of times, at least a couple of times, okay? But don't be in a rush. A lot of you are in a rush to change your thoughts because you're thinking, oh, and then I get to just be happy. Life is not for us to be happy all the time. It is literally 50-50. My job is to help you lessen your own personal emotional suffering by judging yourself, thinking about things in a shitty way for you, and then sometimes truly being like, you know, like I will tell you, like with all of our nurses and our doctors and stuff inside the tribe, like I want to feel like compassion for them, but I am a little scared for them at times. And I want to understand that I'm scared, but I want to have equal airtime and equal amounts of my time feeling compassionate for them too, and proud and thankful. And sometimes I do want to be scared. And that's okay. It's when you do stage one, which is get aware of all the thoughts, the ones that are useful and the ones that aren't. And then you move to stage two, which is release judgment. In stage two, the way that I always describe it is here's you. Here, let me do it up here. This will make more sense. I've done this a couple of times. There's videos on this. Here's all of us up here with our hair, okay? And then we have a thought. One is judgment. One is The other one will base in curiousness. Okay. So when you think about us, these are the models that we run down here. So here's how my brain's working all the time. My brain is running these models all the time about I see the world, my brain thinks something about it, it makes an opinion, creates a story around it, that creates a feeling in me, and when I feel things, these are the things that I do or don't do, and then that's what happens in my life. This is what happens, right? So what happens when you're doing thought work is stage one is you have to see all these models that are running in your head all the time. You have about 60,000 of them a day. You're not going to have to track all of them. Our goal is to get one a day and work on it. That's it. Step two is release judgment. Sometimes when we're watching our models, we either think, I'm so fucked up. Oh my God. I can't believe I think shit like this. Wah, wah, wah. Or we get curious, which is what we want to do. I'm glad I know this now. Solving for these things will help me move forward. And this is always a key phase because right here, when we are in stage two, we want to make sure we're releasing judgment because if we don't, you know what we do? We stop being aware. Because if you are judging your thoughts, you will feel terrible. And if you feel terrible, the answer will be to stop looking for them. So that you can quit feeling terrible rather than let's let go of the judgment. That will allow us to not feel so terrible and we can move to stage three. So once you've released the judgment, stage three is where you start deciding how you want to think. So in that stage, you want to make sure that you're like, okay, I know this is what I'm currently thinking. What else could I think? It does not always have to be an amazing thought. It just has to be a different one that wiggles you out of your current one that doesn't feel good. Stage four is then practice. So in stage four, what happens is you have the same thoughts that aren't useful. They'll come in for about 6 months to a year to 40 years. They'll keep coming back. They'll keep coming back. They'll keep coming back, and you will replace them with a different thought. And so when you practice, guess what? You're going to start back at the top, stage one. You're going to get aware of the repetitive thoughts. You're not going to wish them away. Stage two is release judgment. Part of judgment is, I wish these weren't happening. I wish this would go away. If this was just stop, I'd feel so much better. You'll release all those kinds of thoughts. That's when we redirect to where we want to think. And we keep on practicing. And you just basically put that on rinse and repeat until you're like me, where your old thinking comes in and you don't even have to like consciously change it. Your subconscious, like I have got a lot of thoughts right now that come in. Like sometimes I'll think, oh, there's so much to do. And then I'll be like, no, there's not. There's what you have on your calendar today. That's the difference between when I think there's so much to do, I know my brain is looking out days and days and days. It's thinking about all kinds of stuff that I'm not going to do today anyway. I always tell myself, there's not too much to do. I always remind myself, there's what's on the calendar. And that's it. Sometimes I tell myself, God, I just dread doing the shit on my calendar today. And I remind myself, like, we don't need to dread it. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it. And when it's over, we'll be thankful. I just don't let myself do it. It's boring. It's a boring answer, but that's how I do it. All right. Let's coach somebody, DB Clark. I'm going to get one person in. Oh, let me turn this down. Can you say something? DB Clark?
I'm sorry, I didn't have my hand raised.
Oh, it was up. It's okay. I'll put you back. Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. Saba? You've had yours up for a long time. I won't call on you. Like sometimes y'all butt dial me and that's okay. Hello. Hang on 1 second. Can you say something?
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Never mind. I thought I was going to have to turn my speakers down, but it's working on this now. Okay. What do you want to coach on?
I want to coach on that. I don't have a problem with staying at home because of COVID-19, but I've been working from home for the past year and I don't have any sort of system in place where I stick to any routine, and more recently, I'm not doing anything that either I should be doing or I want to be doing. And
actually,
all I'm doing
that's not true. You're doing everything you want to be doing right now. You know why? You're doing it
because I can.
Because you are. Whatever you're doing now is coming from a desire of want. What we need to do is get you doing more of the things that you're not wanting to do right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing any of the things I want to do is like the first level of awareness. It's like, all right, let's just be honest with ourselves. My life is filled with me doing all the things that I want to do, and it's not getting me what I want.
Yeah, that's right. What I end up doing is I just avoid doing the things I should be doing, and I end up just eating past my two. For some reason, I've just got into this habit the last few weeks of not.
Well, why are you doing it? Tell me why you're doing it. Don't act like you don't know why. This is really important. Every single time you ate past your two, your brain had something to do with it, right?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm avoiding stuff.
Like what?
Because I'm not in the classroom anymore. I was a teacher. I left last year, and I'm setting up an online teaching business as well. So I'm just sort of scared about my abilities and what I want to do, and just not making any progress because I'm just procrastinating, actually.
So why are you scared? Because scared's a feeling.
I'm scared of not doing it right.
Okay, well, let's just assume you're going to do it wrong. Who cares?
I care.
But you don't need to be scared. We're going to do it wrong. What's going to happen if you do it wrong?
I'll have to fix it, isn't it?
You'll have to what?
Whatever it is that's wrong, I'll have to fix it.
Yeah, but does that feel scary?
Feels really uncomfortable because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I don't doing things wrong.
Right. So why don't you like doing things wrong? Because that's why you're scared. It's not because you're setting up an online business and you don't know what to do. You're scared because of what you think. Like, we're going to put in the C line, things go wrong. This is where your strongest work will be. This is where every perfectionist needs to pay the fuck attention right now.
Sorry, what was it that you were asking me? Lost.
Things go wrong. Now what? Tell me what will happen when things go wrong. You say, well, I'll have to fix them. That's fine. Like, that's not scary. And then you said, yeah, but I'm a perfectionist. So, you know, the problem isn't that the things go wrong, because you know intellectually, well, I would just fix them. But the reason why, when things go wrong, I can't get to even making wrong things happen is because of what I'll think about myself when the things go wrong.
Well, what I think is that basically I'm a bit of a loser, and why am I trying at this age?
I'm a loser.
I know it's not the right thing to think, but...
No, but it is the right thing to say, because that's what's in your brain. That's what I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me what's in your brain. I don't care what's in there. I want to pull it out so we can look at it and get to work on solving for you to start thinking in a way that's going to allow you to feel empowered, or allow you to feel like worthy enough to make mistakes. So... I'm a loser. And that feels what?
Feels rubbish.
Rubbish?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Logan would love that. You know, when he was a kid, he watched Thomas the Tank all the time, and they would say rubbish. And he went through like 3 years of like everything, something would happen, he'd go, rubbish. He was like the only American kid at the age of 7 saying rubbish. I still remember. It's so cute. So when you feel like rubbish, the actions are what? Don't plan. Eat to get away from self.
Yeah.
Away from thoughts about self. And then are you stopping, like going to work on your stuff? You said procrastinating.
Yeah, I just put it off.
Okay. So put off work. And then what is the result? We lose out on learning about ourselves or learning how to change.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of you do this where you make mistakes mean so much about who you are. And then you'll say, but I'm a perfectionist and that's why I'm not doing things. You're not doing things because you're a perfectionist. You may like to do them right and stuff. But the reason why you stop doing it, because there are people in the world who are perfectionists who are really good at their jobs because they're so good at making sure things are right. But they don't tear themselves up through the process. The real problem you're experiencing isn't that you want things to be done the right way. The real problem is that if they don't go the way you think they should, that you're going to beat yourself up in the process. And so what all of you do is rather than changing the relationship you have with yourself, you stop doing the very things that you can trigger you to change the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah.
So like when you don't plan, when you eat to get away from your thoughts about yourself, when you're putting off your work, you're not triggering yourself to talk better. You're not allowing, you stop these thoughts from coming in, because if you're just sitting around doing nothing, you're probably not beating yourself up in that moment. You're just like, you know, it's just really hard to build a business. I don't really know what to do. It's a lot easier to be confused than it is to go out, figure it out and make mistakes and recover and not beat yourself up.
I actually know what to do. I know what to do.
Okay, well then let's just do it. And let's think highly of ourselves while we do it. On purpose.
I find it really hard to change that model. I've tried changing it, but I still, my thought keeps on coming back to that thought.
Yeah, it's going to, like, for the next 20 years. How old are you?
49.
Okay, then give me 30 years of this thought coming back and you changing it before you give up on it. Tell me the harm in this thought coming up for the next 30 years, and every time it did, you go to, that's rubbish. Making mistakes is part of me figuring this out. Like for 30 straight years. Tell me what that life would look like compared to the one now where this thought comes back for a few weeks and you stop.
Well, basically, I'll just get more of what I've got just now if I keep thinking that way.
Do what?
I'll just get more of what I won't do anything if I keep on thinking that I'm a loser. I won't actually change anything.
Yeah, nothing changes in this model. We just take away every single way that we can work on ourselves. Every single time you start saying, well, this thought keeps coming back. I should probably quit planning. I should probably quit doing stuff so I don't have to think this anymore. Rather than, you know what the real solution is? Think this thing for the next 30 years and tell myself, that's bullshit. I'm learning how to love myself. And drop into that model where it's like, show up even when I make mistakes, do a discovery worksheet even when I overeat, figure out new things to tell myself when I'm eating pasta too. Like that model probably has very different results than this one.
Yeah.
That model over there, the result line is I set myself up to practice loving myself over and over and over and over again. This model, I set myself up to never learn how to love myself.
Yeah, I get it. I'll be working on it for a long time.
I'm going to tell you, the path to loving yourself is understanding all the ways that you think about you. And when you get to where you like yourself, guess what? It's a lot easier to plan. It's a lot easier to go out and start a new business. It's a lot easier to do those things. Because then you're only having to deal with figuring out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got Google now, so we can figure anything out.
No, thank you, Corinne. That makes sense.
You're welcome.
I'll be doing that more too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye.
Let's see. Let me see if there's... When I run over on something in a block, reschedule or complete and bump or subjective. Here's how I would do it. I would, in the beginning, if you're trying to get used to following your schedule, I would dead stop, move on to the next task, and then look throughout the day. Is there, like, if you get something done earlier, I would go back to finishing it. That's if you want to get really good at learning how to follow your schedule. Like, if the biggest thing you really need to learn is getting really good at following the schedule and showing up for it no matter what, that's how I would do it. A lot of people, what they have is they have what's called a container day. So they will have, and you could have one every day if you wanted. You could have 1 hour built into every single day called container work, or 30 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever you want to call it. And that means little things that you couldn't get done in your time blocks, you throw them into the container and you know you're going to come back and finish it then. I have a container day. So like what I do is I have my stuff all planned out on Fridays. I have a time block. Fridays are like my day off. So I only work first thing in the morning. And then I usually like get my hair done. Like that's the day that I do like a lot of the Corinne stuff. And if I travel, I usually travel in the afternoons on Friday. So I usually have a couple to 3 hours in the morning built in to finish up admin tasks, leftover things, that kind of stuff. If it's something that's time sensitive, then I look at the rest of my day and I know that I need to make sure that I'm getting my shit done undistractedly because I'm going to need to get that other thing done. I would just like really think about how can I get good at honoring the time that I schedule? And then every week, just like what we do with the 24-hour plans, guys, every week we have you assess. I would assess at the end of the week. I have it in here. Like if you go to your weekly page, it says top three wins, top three reviews from last week. What I would do is I would just answer a couple of questions, kind of like what we do on the 24-hour plan, like on the weekly assessment. I would just ask myself, like, what did I learn about this week? What are the things that I might need to change for next week? You will get so much relief doing the way that I tell you to plan in the beginning, but there are going to be things that don't work at first. Your job is to not say, like, oh, this isn't going to work or whatever. Your job is to honor it as closely as possible. Make notes about, like, all right, next week when I plan, I want to make sure I remember this. Within a month, you will have evolved so much. I use the PMP planner when I started in January to time block in the My Schedule. This was an easy place to start. And then I just elaborated to a to-do list. Could this be a good suggestion for newbies? Yeah, newbies, if y'all want to use it, that's fine. This is like a lot of you are just working from home right now. The reason why we had the whole time blocking, that lesson just literally came out, I think, a week ago. And it was in response to, we have so many of you. Don't ignore this binder. This is my binder. But we just had so many of you who are suddenly working from home who needed a system. And I've had this system for a long time. And so I just gave it to everyone. We didn't brand it. We didn't do anything. So if you're wondering what is this all about, this is literally in response to the majority of the world having to stay home and figure out how to work from home versus how to work when you're, you know, a lot of you have had those thoughts of, well, I don't want to look bad. And you're working, like a lot of you will understand how self-motivated you are working at home versus working at work. At work, a lot of you have been working, worrying about what other people thought. Now this is your perfect opportunity to figure out how to quit working from worrying about how other people thought and start finding out the kind of person you want to be for your job. This is really good work for all of you because a lot of you come home stressed every day thinking it's your job. Thinking it's going to work and all this stuff, right? And now you're at home and you're finding it's like not that. Like a lot of you want to go back. The only thing that was happening is all day long, if you've been working out of fear what other people think, then you are coming home jacked up because you've been scared all day and worried about what other people are thinking and trying to use that as fuel to work. And then you come home and you need to get away from all of that. If while you're at home, you can figure out the kind of employee you want to be, the kind of whatever you want to be, and tying your work to what your purpose is, and like, I want to be a motherfucking badass when it comes to time. I want to really learn how to be productive. I really want to do all this stuff. Figure out that piece while you're at home. When you go back, you just know you have to manage your mind where it's like, now I'm just showing up as that badass. I don't need to worry about what other people think anymore. I've solved for all of that. You will notice your nighttime eating drastically will reduce. All right, let's do one more question and then we'll get out of here, guys. I'm trying to find one from somebody working at home with kids. So let me just talk about working with your kids. I'm trying to find, was hoping somebody would have showed me one. Oh, here's one. Cheryl, how is the best way to deal with family interruptions during the day? I can time block, but the husband and the kids interrupt me a lot. So there's like, I want you to think about this. I can give you ideas, or you can answer your own question for yourself. You can ask yourself, when my husband and my kids interrupt me, how do I want to think and feel about it? For some of you, it's going to be right now. If it's like, if there's no, like, you can have a family conversation. Like, I'm not saying you can't all be like, family board meeting. We all going to be at home 3 more weeks. It's time to figure out how things are going to roll. You can do that. Now, what you need to do is set to step two, which is, and when we've had our family board meeting and we're all on board and we're like, ah, we're going to do this, they're still going to come in and they're going to interrupt you and do all the things. So the first thing I would advise everyone to do is figure out, how do you want to think and feel about interruptions? It can be things like, this is only going to be for a few weeks. In 6 months, this won't even matter. This is the season where I'm only going to get things done that I absolutely need to. Some stuff will wait. For some of you, it's going to be, a lot of you are allowing interruptions. So let me give you a good example. So y'all know my kid's home and all the things. Logan loves me and Chris. He's a great kid. I don't want you guys to think anything about it, but we are his best friends. He does not have kids he's calling. He does not have kids he's texting. He does not have any of that. He has me and Chris. And he gets lonely during the day because we're both working. And he'll want to come in and he'll want to talk to me. And I will be face down in the middle of, you know, what I consider super important work right now. What feels very urgent, all the things. And so I had to decide. There are going to be times when I am going to need to not be frustrated and stop realizing there's nothing that important. Like, if I don't do these things, there's no one that's truly going to suffer. The only person who would suffer if they don't get done would be me because of my thoughts around not getting them done. So I collect each day the stuff that if I get interrupted and it takes me a little longer to get done or whatever, not a big deal until I make it a big deal. Then I also have the things that when I'm working on it, it needs my bandwidth. It needs all of me. And I can't take an interruption. And when those things, if he comes in during those time blocks, this is when I'm willing to let my son figure out how he's going to think and feel about his mother saying, this is not a good time. I had to do my work around not feeling like a shitty mother, like a mom who, like, I had to quit saying I'm prioritizing my business over him. I had to start telling myself he's going to learn how to appreciate interruption time and when is not a good time to interrupt. Like, I had to do my work on that. That was me trying, like, I had to go to work on figuring out that relationship. Because it would be easy to let him interrupt me all the time and be annoyed and frustrated in my head and be exhausted by the end of the day thinking, I'm never going to be able to get shit done like this. That's the easy way. Because then that one usually ends with wine. The harder part was watching him walk out of the room, sometimes not super happy, and feel, and really realizing it was a bad time to come in. And then we talk about it later. That was the hardest work of all, because I had to start learning how to get comfortable with my choices. That's when you start growing. And that's when I started realizing, like, Logan can learn some valuable things during this time. We're all going to go through a little emotional pain, and we're all going to figure it out. But that's when you have to be okay with all of us sometimes having some emotional pain so that we can have the emotional growth. Okay, let's see. Joni, was that you? She's just put a comment down. Oh my God, I'm going to be known as Panty's mom. That story was the best ever. All right, guys, I hope that's helpful. We'll get out of here so I can get to filming. Y'all have a good, good rest of your day. If for some reason your questions did not get answered, please take them over to the Facebook group. You can ask there. I am sure that my community people, anything that I need to answer, they will alert me and I will make sure I get in there and I will answer them. If you are not in Facebook, you can always take it to Ask Coaches. You can ask there, and we will get that answered. All right? You guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.